Good morning, everyone. We want to get you fully updated on what's going on in Haiti. The official death count is just beginning in that nation, and various estimates say tens of thousands of people may die when the final count is put together. There are even estimates as high as 100,000, but search teams and health assessment teams are looking and trying to figure out where the most damage is and where the people are most threatened. And of course, for people who are alive and survivors and people who are injured, time, as we are saying, is running out as the relief operation begins. Lucy Tondreau, you're a Haitian community advocate in Miami, Florida, joining us from Miami. When do you ship out for Haiti?
As soon as we have clearance. As a matter of fact, we were hoping to do so today, and unfortunately, we haven't gotten clearance yet. As soon as we have the clearance, I will be one of the few people that are able to go and help.
There's a real relief traffic jam there because the dropping-off point is Miami for so many people who are headed to Haiti. Let me give you a sense of what you're going to see when you finally arrive in Port-au-Prince. This is from the Miami Herald's Francis Robles reporting in Haiti for your local public radio station, WLRN. Listen to this.
I don't want to give the impression that every building in Port-au-Prince has collapsed. That's certainly not the case. You have a very busy, vibrant city with everybody running around. And then let's say you have a block where there's 30 buildings. Three of them may have collapsed. And maybe there were 30 people in those three buildings. So that you have a trail of dead bodies scattered throughout the city. You might just be walking down the street, and then there are three or four bodies laid out with white sheets over them on the sidewalk.
So, Lucy Tondreau, it's a grim situation there, but hardly lifeless. What have you heard about what you expect to find?
Well, I know what I'm expecting to find, since each time there's a calamity in Haiti, I'm always there on the ground helping. It's the feeling of helplessness right here in South Florida that is the hardest part. We know what to expect. We want to put our grain of salt in order to help. And we know that from watching the news, the bodies are laying everywhere in Port-au-Prince. The buildings that have collapsed and mostly the people in despair, not knowing where to go, not able to find their loved ones. And it is heartbreaking.
Right. Well, you are with a medical response team leaving from Miami-Dade County as soon as there is clearance. As you say, Lucy Tondreau, stand by for us there in Miami. Millery Polonais, who's a professor of American Studies at New York University, we talked to you just at the top of the hour. That powerlessness that Lucy talks about, you know personally. You have family in Haiti who you still maybe have not heard from.
Yes, we our family has our cousin, unfortunately, who passed away, Azu, and we're looking for five other family members.
And, you know, when we were talking off air, and I was reminded of a very evocative soundbite I heard last night on a public radio program where you look at the sky, it's beautiful. You look down at the ground, it couldn't be more awful. Yeah. You said to me this morning, we're trying to figure out why Haiti.
Yeah.
That's a real feeling among Haitians. Explain. Help me to understand that.
Why Haiti? I mean, many Haitians take so much pride in their history, and the history goes back to the Haitian Revolution, obviously slavery, and obviously going as early as to the 20th century U.S. occupation of Haiti. So we think about all this stuff, and so we think about all the kind of obstacles that have been in our way in order to achieve and progress, and they've always been whether economic, natural disasters, something that is happening, political disarray.
And Lucy Tondreau, you know the history of Haiti as well as anyone. What makes things difficult in a relief operation? You've had a lot of experience.
Well, what makes things more difficult is the lack of infrastructure in Haiti, to lack of preparedness in Haiti also, and the fact that the people of Haiti have never been able to count on their government, in order to look for help. That's why everybody's looking into the international community to come and seek help. The people of Haiti, after the four hurricanes that hit Haiti back-to-back, they have that potentiality to rise back whenever there is sadness in the country. And it is difficult for us here in the United States to understand people with nothing are able to live and be happy on a daily basis. So it is very difficult for us here, not being able to get in touch with loved ones, not knowing exactly what's going on. Are they okay? There's no communication. We were not able to get through Haiti for the past 2 days. Hopefully today we'll have some phone lines.
And, you know, as you both point out, Lucy, you and Millery Polonais here in the studio, the Haitians are used to, have grown up with a history of not being able to rely on the government. That infrastructure, you have learned not to rely on. I'm wondering, and again, the U.S. is at the head, the tip of the spear of the relief operation here in this hemisphere. There will probably be more resources mobilized from the United States than anywhere else in the world, nevertheless. Does the U.S. have some complicity in that history where Haitians have learned not to trust their government, Millery Polonais?
Of course, yes.
Oh,
Lucy's agreeing with you, too. Lucy, yeah. Stay on the line.
Without a doubt. I mean, from going back to the Haitian Revolution to Haiti wasn't recognized once it achieved its independence until 1862 by the United States, going to 1915 to 1934, U.S. occupation, moving up to various issues in which the U.S. has propped up, supported various governments from Elie Lescot to Estime to Duvalier. So they've always been a part of Haitian foreign policy and have always had their hand in all of this.
So the relief operation, you know, not to get involved in a lot of U.S. bashing guilt, but nevertheless, I mean, we're a part of that history. We ought to be a part of the solution. 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. What do you believe is America's role in this hemisphere? Lucy Tondreau, before we go, why don't you take us out? You have some impressions?
Yes, I do. Not only the occupation of Haiti, but the army that was trained not to serve the people, but to kill people in Haiti. That was part of the heritage that we've got also after the occupation in 1934, after the United States left.
And each of these things means that the people have difficulty having faith in the very infrastructure that they must rely on now for aid. And, of course, the priority is to get clean drinking water to the people and aid and food in these periods when time is running out. Millery Polonais, you're going to stay with us. Thanks so much. Lucy Tondreau, good luck in Haiti. I hope you can chip out today.
Thank you so much.
Lucy Tondreau is a Haitian community advocate in Miami, Florida.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.